Chapter 6. Joe startled awake to an unfamiliar phone alarm and a loud thump. "Ow!" Nikki's voice came from the direction of the floor. Joe opened his eyes and tried to move. "Ow!" he complained, his hand going to his neck as it pulled painfully down the side. His back also objected to the change in position. He winced and blinked blearily around as the alarm continued to screech. "What? Where is the damn phone?" Nikki muttered. There was some swearing in Italian, and then blessed silence as the alarm was turned off. Slowly, the room came into focus. The room turned out to be Nikki's apartment. "Ah. We fell asleep in the cuddle-slash-fucking chair." "Yes, I noticed," Nikki said from the floor, where he was rubbing his own neck with one hand and tapping at his phone with the other. Then he dropped his phone, lay back down on the floor, and closed his eyes. "Not a morning person either, huh? What time is it?"
6 o'clock.
Joe groaned and let his head fall back against the chair arm. "That's inhuman. What time do you start work?"
9.
9? Joe raised his head again. "How long does it take you to get to work?"
20 to 30 minutes, depending on traffic. Usually leave about 8:30, Nikki recited, as though he'd had this conversation before.
"You leave for work at 8:30, and you set your alarm for 6? Are you an early morning runner?"
"Sometimes, but not usually. I'm not great at mornings."
"But you set your alarm for 6 every day?"
"Voluntarily."
"I know it's weird, I've been told. Many times by many people."
"No, no, it's not weird."
Nikki opened his eyes enough to give Joe a skeptical look.
"It's a little weird. It takes me ages to get going in the morning, no matter what time I get up. Sleeping later doesn't make me function any better. So I get up early, take my time, and by the time I leave for work, I feel more or less like a person."
"That makes sense. Does it?"
"I mean, not for me. But it makes sense to you."
"Sorry you were woken up too. There is no reason you need to be up. You can sleep and I'll wake you before I leave."
"Nah, I'm awake now. Probably for the best anyway. I'm not sure how I was sleeping, but I've got a hell of a crick in my neck."
Nikki shifted his hips from side to side.
"We forgot to clean up before we fell asleep."
Joe grimaced. Nikki was probably itchy in all sorts of uncomfortable places.
"Sorry."
"I hope you're not apologizing for last night."
"Definitely not. Last night was..."
Joe didn't really know what last night was. Well worth a crick in his neck, and being woken at 6.
"Yeah."
"Shower and breakfast, then. Is that part of your feeling like a person morning thing?"
"That's pretty much the whole of my feeling like a person morning thing."
Nikki's shower was very much intended to be a solo experience, so showering together tended to involve a lot of bumping elbows and pressing up against each other, only one of which Joe was going to complain about.
"Is this part of your morning thing, too?" he said against Nikki's ear as they moved together, their hard cocks sliding delightfully slowly against each other.
"It's usually a little different," Nikki gasped. "Usually you're just in my head."
"You think about me when you're getting off?"
"You know I do."
"Yeah, but I like to hear you say it."
Nikki laughed against his neck, then pressed his mouth to the same spot.
"Every time I think of you," he said between kisses. "Every morning I come, wishing it was your hand on me, your mouth, your body."
He groaned as Joe gave an extra hard roll of his hips.
"Every morning I wonder if you're awake yet, if you're doing the same thing, if you're in your shower or your bed with your hand wrapped around your cock as you think of me."
"Well, now I will be," Joe said breathlessly, and Nikki laughed again. Time stretched as they climbed the peak together for endless moments until Nikki came with a soft sigh, his hands clutching at Joe's shoulders. Joe pulled him into a deep kiss as he followed him over the edge, his own orgasm rolling sweetly through him.
"Mmm," he said when they eventually broke apart.
"Definitely worth waking up at 6 a.m.
Nikki smiled warm and bright and leaned past him to shut off the water. Come on, I'll find you some clothes and we can get breakfast. Nicky's sweatpants fit him well enough, if a touch short and baggy, as did Nicky's underwear. He was wearing Nicky's underwear. If Joe thought about that for too long, his brain started to go a bit fuzzy. Nicky's t-shirt hung loose from his shoulders, which was far less flattering to Joe's arms than the tight shirts he favored himself. Nicky didn't seem to mind, though. Breakfast, he breathed when he finally pulled away from Joe's mouth. Thought I was breakfast, Joe said, pulling him back in. Nicky rolled his eyes at this, but didn't stop Joe from kissing him again. We've got 3 weeks of this to catch up on. Nicky's lips quirked upwards. Well, if you put it like that. His lips found Joe's again. What was looking set to be an excellent makeout session on Nicky's bed was rudely interrupted by Joe's stomach, which suddenly rumbled so loudly that he was sure Nicky could feel it. Nicky laughed and clambered off him. Up, he said, tugging at Joe's hand. The kitchen isn't that far away. I'm sure we can make it. They did make it, and Nicky soon had coffee brewing in a proper mocha pot and everything. Mugs were pulled out of a cupboard, and Joe laughed when he saw them. One featured two avocado halves, wishing that he would have a nice day. The other was covered in bees and said, don't worry, be happy. Are there more in there? Joe asked, trying to peer around Nicky's head at the cupboard behind him. One with a llama that says, no problema on it? A cat that says, meow, that's what I call coffee? Nicky slammed the cupboard door shut and gave Joe a stern look that was completely ruined by the way his eyes were smiling. If you're going to make fun of my mugs, you don't get to find out. I'm not making fun, Joe protested. I think they're cute. I will tell you that I have one with rainbow-colored lions on it. Huh? Think about it. You'll figure it out. He turned away with what could only be called a smirk. What do you normally have for breakfast? He asked, studying the contents of his fridge with a frown. Usually just toast and fruit and coffee. Sometimes eggs if I'm feeling ambitious. Are you feeling ambitious? I am not. Toast and fruit and coffee it is, then, Nicky said, pulling things out of the fridge. I have lablabi in my fridge, Joe said, only a little mournfully as he watched Nicky put bread in the toaster. Is that bad? Nicky asked him with a small frown. Joe laughed. No, not bad. It's just my dad left me some. He's the king of breakfast, according to him, and he disapproves of my breakfast habits. So I've been well fed while he's been here. Pancakes yesterday, shakshuka the day before. He got up ridiculously early one day to make croissants from scratch. Toast and fruit and coffee seems like a reasonable breakfast habit. Sometimes it's just the coffee, Joe admitted, when I've got a deadline looming. Nicky laughed, then handed him a knife. Make yourself useful and chop and rinse those, he said, pushing a punnet of strawberries towards him. You're bossy in the kitchen, Joe said, helping himself to a chopping board that was propped against the wall. I like it. Don't start, Nicky warned, or we'll never eat. I'm behaving. Nicky looked doubtful at this, but apparently decided rinsing raspberries under the tap was a better use of his time than responding. Your dad's the cook in your family? He asked as he tipped the raspberries into a bowl and handed the colander to Joe. Both my parents, really, Joe said, scooping the strawberry halves into the colander. My family was pretty traditional, I guess, when I was growing up. Mama cooked and looked after the kids. Baba ran his business. But then he had a heart attack at 45. Nicky's head came up from where he'd been buttering toast, eyes full of concern. He's fine, Joe said with a wave of his hand that completely belied how terrifying and stressful the situation had been. The doctor said it was a warning, and if he carried on as he was, it would kill him. There were a lot of arguments and a lot of tears, but he agreed to step back at work, delegated more to the staff. Mama learned to do the accounts, and Baba took up a bunch of hobbies. Now they're both retired and they cook together. That sounds nice, Nicky said. Not the heart attack part, he added hurriedly. Yeah, I got that, Joe said with a laugh. Anyway, that was about 15, 16 years ago, and he's been fine. He's probably fitter now than he was then, dodgy hip notwithstanding. I'm glad he's okay. Nikki loaded up a tray with their breakfast spread and gestured with his head for Joe to follow him. Joe took the opportunity, while his back was turned, to sneak a look in the mug cupboard. He just had time to glimpse an angry marsupial with a sword and shield and the caption, "Mortal Wombat," before Nikki realized what he was doing. "Joe!" The door slipped out of Joe's hand and closed with a bang. "Sorry." Nikki shook his head sadly. "I cannot believe you would betray my trust in this way." "Sorry, can you forgive me?" "I'm sure you can think of a way to make it up to me," Nikki said with an incredibly blatant look up and down Joe's body that he completely failed to follow up on when he turned back around and carried on walking. Joe hurried after him. Nikki didn't stop at the kitchen table and instead headed to the sliding glass doors that led to the balcony. Joe leaned past him, turned the lock, and slid the door open. "Thank you," Nikki smiled and brushed a kiss across his mouth before heading outside. It was pleasantly cool, in the way of an early morning at the start of an English summer before the humidity kicks in. They shared comfortable silence and strawberries as they watched the city wake up. Joe had to admit Nikki's whole getting up before you need to thing may have some merit. "So Yusuf, is it?" After a moment of confusion as to what Nikki was actually asking him, Joe laughed. "Only when I'm in trouble." He drummed his fingers on the table for a moment, thinking, "And Nikki's short for Nicola?" "Nicolo." "Damn it, I knew it was one or the other." He sipped his coffee. "I like Nicolo. It suits you." "Thank you. How's the coffee?" "It's good," Joe said, taking another sip to emphasize his point. Nikki just raised an eyebrow at him. "Honestly, I can't tell the difference between this and the Nespresso." Nikki looked appalled and Joe laughed. "I know that's like blasphemous to you or something, but it all just tastes the same to me." "I can't believe I've wasted the good stuff on you." "I'm not entirely convinced anyone else could tell the difference either. First he insults my coffee, then he accuses me of being a pretentious fraud. Hey, now you're putting words in my mouth." "Maybe I should put something else in your mouth." Nikki leaned across the table as though he was going to kiss him. The next thing Joe knew, there was a half a strawberry between his lips, and Nikki was sitting back in his seat, looking smug. "You know, I thought you were going to let me suck you off," Joe said through a mouthful of strawberry, "and instead I don't even get a kiss." Nikki rolled his eyes, but leaned forward again and kissed him, soft and lingering. The kiss broke, and they returned to their breakfast and people watching. "Can I ask about the apartment?" Joe said, because it had been bugging him. "It was a perfectly nice apartment." "It was a very nice apartment." And it had clearly been designed and built in the expectation it would be filled with sleek, minimalist furniture and dinner parties, not squashy, mismatched cushions and walls of books and coffee mugs with terrible puns on them. The house plants, of which there were many, had clearly been chosen because Nikki liked them and not for aesthetic effect, which was, in Joe's opinion, the only reason to choose houseplants, but still. He'd been surprised when Nikki first brought him here, and months later he still didn't get it. This wasn't the sort of place you ended up in by accident. Nikki must have deliberately chosen it and paid a lot of money for it. "What about it?" "Penthouse in the middle of the city? It just doesn't seem very you, somehow." Nikki tilted his head, considering. "What would be me?" "I don't know. A ramshackle but cozy cottage somewhere. Something more like my place. An apartment in a converted warehouse or church. Something with a bit of history and character." Joe realized belatedly that he was, however, unintentionally bordering on being rude here and hurried to explain. "Not that there's anything wrong with this place. It's very nice." Nikki cut him off with a wave of his hand. "No, you're right. It's not very me. I bought it years ago, back in my days as a corporate shill. It was, I suppose, where I thought I should be living." "You were a corporate shill?" Joe said, and Nikki nodded. "What, you were a hedge fund manager? Unbearable CEO? Soulless lawyer sending cease and desist notices to impoverished artists?" Nikki laughed. No, nothing like that. I just was motivated by, you know, salary and bonuses and that sort of thing, without giving any thought to whether what I was doing was benefiting anyone but myself. I thought I needed the trappings of financial success, fancy apartment, expensive car. And you didn't? Money was tight when I was growing up, after... Nicky cut himself off and chewed his toast for a moment. Anyway, money was tight. More than tight. I thought this, he gestured at their surroundings, was what security looked like. And I wasn't wrong exactly, but security can look like a lot of things. Joe, whose very comfortable upbringing and plans for the future had been rocked by his father's ill health, nodded in understanding. I realized I wasn't making the best use of my time, that my skills could be used to make things better, rather than just increasing the profits of companies whose profits were already huge. So I sold the Porsche and got a different job and stopped trying to pretend I was something I wasn't. Joe wanted to ask what it was Nicky actually did. It felt like they'd missed a few steps to be discussing Nicky's feelings about financial independence and security, without establishing the very basic detail of his occupation. But they were already breaking their self-appointed rules about sharing information about themselves, and Nicky was obviously avoiding certain things, presumably because he felt talking about them would break the rules too much. Joe had his own suspicions about what had caused money to become tight. Amongst the many things about Nicky's apartment that didn't fit a minimalist aesthetic were a plethora of photographs from Nicky's life. After the age of about 9 or 10, there were no pictures of Nicky with the man Joe assumed was his father. Joe didn't ask about any of these things. You sold the car but kept the apartment. Nicky shrugged and popped a raspberry into his mouth. It has a great view. He did not, Joe noticed, say that he actually liked living here. Joe pointed this out. When I moved in, there was a real sense of community, which I wasn't expecting. I knew most of my neighbors, at least to say hello to, but now the unit next door is an Airbnb, and the one below me is too. I don't recognize most of the people I see coming in and out. It's not a reason to move, but it's not the same as it was. You like this, Joe realized, gesturing to the balcony, the sunlight glinting off the river, the people making their way to work on the path below. Nicky nodded. Joe could understand that. It would probably be worth being surrounded by holiday lets to have breakfast like this every morning. Would he want to give up actually knowing people and being part of his community? Would he trade Mrs. Noakes next door for the family of ducks swimming out from under the bridge? Probably not. But he could see why Nicky had chosen to stay and make this apartment into what he wanted it to be, rather than move and start over. I'm glad we did this, Joe blurted. I'm glad we fell asleep, and I'm glad we had breakfast together, and... Joe bit his lip. It was very much against the rules, but he was glad he understood this lovely man and his whimsical coffee mugs a little better. Nicky leaned across the table and pressed his mouth to Joe's. I'm glad, too, he said as he pulled away. His phone beeped and he glanced at his watch. Time to go. Probably for the best, Joe thought, as they piled the remains of breakfast back onto the tray and carried it back inside. They were on some very thin ice, and if they didn't get off it soon, they were definitely going to fall. At least Joe was. They took the lift down to the ground floor. Joe watching Nicky in the mirror the whole way, while Nicky pretended he didn't know he was doing that. There was a bar across the mirror at waist height, as lifts tended to have, and Joe thought, not for the first time, about how unfairly provocative this setup was. Why is there even a bar here if it's not for me to hold on to while you bend me over? Please don't say things like that to me before work. I'm not going to be able to concentrate all day, and I won't be able to get in this lift ever again without thinking of that. Then my work here is done. The lift dinged open, revealing a second set of doors beyond which was a car park full of Audis and Mercedes and BMWs and one Volkswagen Golf. Joe gestured to the doors with a flourish. After you. So you can stare at my ass while I walk ahead of you? Pretty much, Joe said, not adding that it also made it much easier to avoid taking Nikki's hand, as Joe's fingers itched to do. Joe had fully intended to just say goodbye to Nikki, get into his car, and drive away. He really had. Instead, Nikki had him pinned to the passenger door of the Golf and was cradling Joe's jaw while he explored his mouth, as though he wasn't already intimately familiar with it, and Joe wasn't doing a thing to stop him. "I should go to work," Nikki said when they paused for breath, then immediately kissed him again. "Work is overrated," Joe countered, when he could pull back enough to do so. "Highly," Nikki agreed, as Joe licked his way back into his mouth. Nikki's fingertips stroked through his beard, and Joe hummed happily. It hadn't been that long since they'd showered together, but Joe's cock was twitching again as Nikki pressed up against him. A car door slammed nearby, and they broke apart again. "We're putting on quite a show for your neighbors." "Ah, they'll be gone in a week." "I can see the Airbnb reviews now. Excellent views of the city, the river, and the two grown men making out like teenagers in the car park." "Sounds like a 5-star review to me," Nikki said, nevertheless stepping away from Joe. "I should definitely go." He proved his commitment to this course of action by moving round to the driver's door, putting an entire car between them. Apparently, this was what was needed if Nikki was going to get to work at all today. Nikki looked around. "Where's your car?" "Out," Joe broke off as he realized why Nikki was asking. "I have a guest parking space, Joe." "Yeah, I see that now." "Have you been paying for parking this whole time?" "I'm mostly here in the evenings." "And it's cheap then, relatively cheap. It's fine." Nikki crossed his arms on the roof of the car and leaned forward. "Joe, if you'd mentioned you had an extra parking space, I would definitely have used it." "I'm sure I told you about it." "I'm sure you didn't." "Is this our first fight?" "It's not our first fight. We're not..." "In a relationship," Joe didn't say out loud. Nikki turned his head away, eyes down. "Anyway, this is a stupid thing to argue over, so let's not." "Let's not," Nikki agreed. "You should go before you're really late, and we should..." "When do you go to Italy?"
"Thursday."
"So soon?" Nikki nodded. "Damn. Okay, so we'll do something during the week?"
"I like how you say something when you mean sex."
"Nikki."
"Yes, we'll do something before I go."
"Okay."
"I'm going to get in the car now."
"Okay." Nikki reached across the roof of the car and held his hand out. Joe took it, and Nikki stretched forward and pressed a kiss to his fingertips. Something agitating in Joe's chest settled at the soft smile on Nikki's lips.
"See you later, Joe."
He let go Joe's hand and got into the car. Joe stepped back as the engine started, and as he watched Nikki drive away, it suddenly hit him. He scrambled for his phone. Rainbow Lions. A pride of lions. Nikki had, by this point, seen pretty much every room of Joe's house, or more accurately, had sex in pretty much every room of Joe's house. The exceptions were the attic with its permanently pulled down steps, where Nikki assumed Joe had an office or something, and the garden, which Nikki hadn't realized existed until Joe led him through the kitchen to the back door.
"Ta-da!"
Joe said with a flourish of his hands.
"It's very nice," Nikki said truthfully. "Are we gardening today? You said you had something fun planned."
"I do," Joe said, gesturing to the patio furniture. There was a small table and two chairs. The sturdy armchair-like kind with squashy cushions.
"The furniture? Are you really into wicker?"
Joe laughed, so Nikki kept talking.
"Is that it? Have you been holding out on me? Keeping your wicker fetish quiet?"
"Yes, that's it," Joe said, completely failing to keep a straight face.
"You got me. It's the wicker that does it for me. Every time we've fucked, I've secretly been thinking about that chair."
Nikki reached out and ran a hand along the back of the nearest chair, caressed it like he would caress Joe's skin.
"Jealous?"
"Unbearably," Joe murmured, still smiling. "Come here." He pulled Nikki into a soft, gentle kiss.
"So you want to have sex in the chair?"
Nikki said when they pulled apart.
"I want to have sex out here. The chair is just more comfortable than the ground."
Nikki looked around the garden. He was missing something here. It was a very nice garden, small but well-kept and cozy like the rest of Joe's house. Beyond the patio, there was a small sloping lawn dotted with daisies and clover that looked much more inviting than the wicker chair. The end of the garden was canopied by a large tree with wide-spreading branches, sunlight filtering through the leaves in gold and green, and under it was a swinging love seat with more squashy cushions. Flower-covered trellising topped the fences almost as high as the first-floor windows. It was serene and secluded. He was sure they'd have a lovely time, but he'd gotten the impression there was more to Joe's plan than that. "What about the love seat?" he asked. "Wouldn't it be more comfortable than that chair? Also, it's called a love seat. It's like the cuddle chair, the clue's in the name." Joe shook his head, smiling slyly. "Can't do it there. The neighbors can see." He pointed over his garden fence. Nikki could see a roof and a gable end. "This is the only part of the garden that isn't overlooked." "I see," Nikki said. He thought he was beginning to get it. He stepped onto the lawn and looked around. The fence was a little lower here, about his height, and it seemed a path ran along the side of Joe's property. On the other side of that path was the house whose roof Nikki had seen over the trellising. The roof was on an extension at the back of the house, and its windows faced Joe's garden. On the other side of the garden, on the house attached to Joe's, the upstairs window had a clear view of where Nikki was standing. The windows of the house next to that probably did too, and the house next to that. Stepping closer to the tree revealed that a break in the branches meant anyone looking out of their upstairs windows of the house behind Joe's could see directly onto the lawn. The love seat could be clearly seen from at least two houses. "I see," Nikki said again as he walked back to Joe. "I thought it would be an interesting challenge," Joe said. "Did you?" "You're so loud, Nikki," Joe whispered, as though he wasn't just as bad. "It doesn't matter inside. It's an old house. The walls are thick. But out here, you'll have to be quiet." "So will you," Nikki pointed out. "I can be quiet," Joe said with the confidence that Nikki felt was misplaced. "But can you?" He stepped away and pulled off his t-shirt, which he somehow managed to do without knocking off his baseball cap. Keeping his eyes on Nikki, he unfastened his jeans, then hesitated a moment, as though waiting for Nikki to stop him. Then he pulled his jeans down, taking his underwear with them. He kicked them aside, grinning, and spread his arms wide, all long limbs and lean muscle. "Come on, Nikki, ride my cock." It should have been ridiculous. It was ridiculous. He still had his socks on as well as the baseball cap. The cock Nikki was supposed to ride was barely hard, but it was Joe and he was naked and smiling in the sunshine. Nikki was never going to say no. "I bet I can be quieter than you," Nikki said, stripping out of his shirt. Joe threw his head back and laughed. "See, I'm winning already." He yanked his jeans off and nodded at Joe's feet. "You're not fucking me with your socks on." "Aw," Joe pouted. "Off.
Plus 100 points for ordering me around. But minus a million because it was about socks."
"Just take your damn socks off," Nikki said, peeling off his own and throwing them at Joe's face. Joe yelped and batted them away. "And the hat." Joe sat on the edge of the chair and raised one foot elegantly in the air, like a dancer. Slowly, slowly, he pulled down one sock, then the other, for all the world as though they were silk stockings and not slightly graying sports socks with a hole in the toe. He maintained eye contact the whole time, or tried to. Nikki was laughing so hard it didn't really work. "I missed my calling," Joe said as the last sock fell to the ground. "Should have done burlesque." "Yes, Dita Von Teese has nothing on you." "I have nothing on me," Joe said, patting his thighs. "And I should have you on me. Get over here." "Your lines are getting worse," Nikki said, nonetheless sitting down on Joe's lap and wrapping his arms around his neck. "And yet they work on you. What does that say about you, He still had his hat on. A little cluster of curls peeked out of the front. Nikki tugged on it fondly, then snatched the hat from Joe's head. "Hey!" Joe protested as Nikki threw it across the garden. You know, if anyone is actually within hearing distance, then this entire conversation would have clued them in to what's happening ages ago, Nikki said. He reached down to Joe's jeans in search of lube. The only person likely to be around at this time is Mrs. Nooks next door, and she's 90 and mostly deaf. So the whole we need to be quiet thing is a lie. Hush, don't spoil the game. I'm spoiling nothing. Lube located, he slicked up his hand, just enough to give a good glide, but keep the friction Joe liked. Now keep quiet for me. Nikki reached between them and took hold of Joe's cock. Joe's eyes slid closed and his head fell back with a groan. Shh, Nikki said. Joe didn't even glare at him, just bit his lip. Nikki watched him as he worked his cock slowly, watched the way his lips parted as Nikki twisted his wrist, the way his eyelashes fluttered, the way his freckles played with the dappled sunlight flickering on his skin. Eventually, Joe opened his eyes, dark, dark, honey-flecked eyes. Nikki bit back a strangled sound as Joe's fingers wrapped around his hardening cock, and he kept his eyes on Nikki, a slight crease appearing on his forehead, as though puzzled by something. Nikki didn't know what he could possibly be puzzled by. This made more sense than anything Nikki had ever done in his life. Turn around, Joe said, his voice husky. He drew his hand away, and Nikki whined. Shh, you can't ride me like this. The chair's too small. Turn around. Nikki did as he was asked, so he was sitting astride Joe's thighs, with his back to him, feeling oddly disappointed, even though he'd been looking forward to having Joe inside him all morning. He could have kept going like that all afternoon. That would have been all he'd need. Joe was fidgeting with something behind him. Then he pushed Nikki forward slightly, a hand to his shoulder, and slipped a slick finger between his cheeks to rub at his hole. Nikki couldn't help it. He let out a loud groan that could probably be heard two gardens over. Shh, Joe said again, and Nikki could tell he was grinning. Nikki bit his lip and tried to keep quiet, but Joe knew just how to play him and was doing it expertly. I will gag you, he whispered. Don't think that I won't. It required actual physical effort to hold back the praise that wanted to pour out of him. The words to tell Joe how wonderful his hands were sat heavy in his mouth until eventually they came spilling out as the tip of Joe's finger slipped just inside. Only a whisper, but Joe heard it anyway. Shh, Joe said again and clamped his hand over Nikki's mouth. Without even thinking, Nikki bit it. Not hard, just a teasing nip to the flesh of his palm. Joe made a startled but not displeased sound behind him. Nikki flicked his tongue out. Joe made the noise again, and his grip slackened, so Nikki licked along his fingers and took one into his mouth, sucking hard. God, Nikki. Nikki stopped sucking for a moment. Shh, quiet. Then he drew two of Joe's fingers back in his mouth and resumed sucking. He couldn't tell Joe how much he loved his fingers when his mouth was full of them, but he could show him. He sucked on them like they were his cock, licking along and between them until every bit of them was wet, and kissed the pads of them reverently. Joe was silent for his labored breathing. It seemed Nikki had completely blown Joe's coordination. The hand that had teased him so proficiently was erratic and jerky. Nikki turned his head and let Joe's fingers fall from his mouth. You want me to ride you, Joe? He said quietly, twisting his head around to look at him. I've been wanting that all day, Joe whispered. Joe pressed his face against the nape of Nikki's neck and breathed hard as Nikki took him slowly inside. Nikki had to literally bite his tongue as Joe's cock stretched him perfectly. Joe didn't say a word or make a sound as they took a moment to adjust. Then he whispered in Nikki's ear, I think I'm winning. Oh, really? Nikki said and clenched around him. Joe made a strangled noise behind him. Nikki spread his knees a little further and planted his feet. His thighs were going to get a workout and Joe was going to regret ever starting this little game. Nikki slowly raised himself up, then just as slowly lowered himself back down. Joe pressed his mouth against his shoulder and settled his hands on Nikki's hips. Nikki gripped the arms of the chair and realized, with the leverage that gave him, he was going to be able to keep this up for a while. He could lean further back, too, settle himself more fully on Joe's cock. Nikki, fuck, you feel... Shh. It was easier for Nikki to keep quiet like this. It wasn't that he didn't love having Joe inside him, because he very much did, but it didn't generally make him wild and desperate like the teasing did. It was a different sort of pleasure, one he could luxuriate in. Joe's breath was hot against Nikki's spine, and his cock sent tremors through him with every drag across his rim. He couldn't quite hit Nikki's prostate from this angle, but that was probably for the best. Nikki would definitely lose then. Joe, on the other hand, was definitely struggling now, his face pressed against Nikki's back to muffle his moans as Nikki slowly raised and lowered himself. His fingers were bruisingly tight on Nikki's hips, and his thighs jerked as he tried to thrust up but couldn't. Joe's hands slid forwards around Nikki's hips and then, just before they reached his cock, pulled back again. Nikki almost growled in frustration, but managed to stop himself. His own hands were braced against the chair arms. He couldn't touch himself and maintain his rhythm. His own cock bounced against his stomach with every movement. He needed Joe to touch him. He wasn't going to beg for it, though, however badly he wanted to. Joe ran his tongue up Nikki's shoulder blade, then pulled away. Nikki looked round as best he could and found Joe looking down at where their bodies were joined. "Enjoying the view?" "It's an excellent view," Joe breathed. He ran his thumbs down Nikki's crack, then parted his cheeks. "Really good view." One of his thumbs brushed Nikki's rim as Nikki slid back down his cock. Nikki bit back a moan. One hand stayed where it was to tease at Nikki's rim, and Nikki was pretty sure Joe's own cock. The other hand reached up, cupped Nikki's chin, and tipped his head back for a kiss. The angle was awful. Nikki didn't care. "Going to come for me, Joe?" he murmured into Joe's mouth. "Want to come on your ass." "On it or in it?" "On it." Nikki laughed, and it turned into a gasp as Joe sucked on his bottom lip. "Yeah, we can do that. Lean forward for me." Joe pushed at his shoulder, and Nikki tipped forwards, shivering as Joe slipped out of him. His thighs were very relieved to end their workout, even as his cock protested that it was being cruelly ignored. Nikki still needed his hands for balance, though. Behind him, Joe was working his cock, the tip of it brushing against Nikki's ass, his breath coming heavy and ragged. Nikki twisted round to see Joe biting his lip. As his eyes fell closed and he came over Nikki's lower back, his usual groan caught in his throat, but reaching Nikki's ears anyway. Nikki hardly waited for Joe to finish before he was turning round and straddling Joe again, clutching the back of his head. He snatched a kiss, then knelt up until his cock was level with Joe's mouth. The wicker arms of the chair dug painfully into the side of his knees, but that was the least of his concerns. He brushed his cock against Joe's lips, and they parted for him eagerly, wet and slick. Joe's eyes didn't leave Nikki's as he took him onto his tongue. His cum was dripping over Nikki's ass and down his thigh, and Joe wiped his hand through it and pushed two fingers inside Nikki as Nikki fucked into his mouth. He barely needed Joe's prodigious skills, his orgasm spooling tight and releasing into Joe's mouth as Joe's fingers found his prostate. Joe groaned and swallowed, and Nikki's world turned to stars as he shuddered against Joe. Joe's fingers were gripping him tight, holding him in his mouth as his breath calmed and his cock slowly softened. His knees were killing him. His throat was dry. He was fairly certain he'd just lost. He felt incredible. Joe was looking up at him, his nose still pressed to Nikki's pubic bone, like he was something wondrous. He withdrew from Joe's mouth, used his thumb to wipe away a couple of drops of cum from Joe's lip, and pushed the thumb into Joe's mouth. Joe sucked him clean, then smiled up at Nikki and pulled him down into a kiss. Nikki kissed him back fiercely and lowered himself down and twisted round until the weight was off his knees, and he was sitting in Joe's lap, smearing cum across his thighs. The kiss gentled and eventually broke.
I think I won, Nikki said.
Joe laughed.
I really don't think so. I'm definitely the winner.
No, I am.
You're both losers.
Andy's voice cut across the garden. They both froze, then whipped their heads around. Andy was nowhere to be seen.
You heard that right, Joe said.
Yeah.
I'm on the path, morons.
They both turned their heads towards the fence.
Were you listening to us, you pervert?
Joe called. Nikki said nothing, his brain stuck on the fact that Joe apparently knew Andy.
I wasn't listening, I just heard you. Not the same thing.
Of course Joe knew Andy, Nikki realized. Joe knew Quinn, so of course he knew Andy.
How long have you been standing there? He asked.
Not long, don't worry. Believe it or not, I'm not actually that interested in listening to you two slobber over each other.
Why are you here, Andy?
Joe said.
I brought your suitcase back. You didn't answer the door, so I was going to drop it over the fence. You were just, finishing up when I got here. Didn't want to just throw the case into the garden without warning and scare you.
How considerate, Nikki said.
It is considerate. I could have hit you with it, and then I might never have found out how amazing Joe's mouth is.
Oh, God. Joe hid his face against Nikki's shoulder.
Yeah, I heard that a couple of times, too. Anyway.
A small suitcase appeared over the fence about halfway down the garden, then fell to the grass with a soft thud.
Nikki doubted very much that either he or Joe would have even noticed it, let alone been scared.
Here you go.
Thank you, Joe called sarcastically.
You're welcome.
Joe, you're coming to dinner on Saturday. No excuses.
Nikki, I'll see you next Monday.
Try to get in a bit earlier than you did this Monday.
Nikki winced. He really had been very late on Monday, and he hadn't heard the end of it since. Even Celeste had shown no mercy.
Yes, boss.
Don't be cheeky.
Andy's voice was definitely moving away from them, but there was, as always, no sound of footsteps. She'd made Nikki spill his coffee more than once when he hadn't realized she was behind him.
Not entirely convinced that woman's human, Joe whispered to him. She's at least part cat.
Nikki nodded. I gave her a collar with a bell on it for her birthday last year. She wasn't impressed.
Joe laughed into his chest. Wish I could have seen that.
Nikki kissed him because he was laughing and he was beautiful and he was perfect.
I told you I liked it, he said when they broke apart again. When you had to be quiet on the phone. I told you later that I liked you being quiet for me, holding back for me.
You did, Joe said, his eyes shining.
You remembered.
I did. Nikki kissed him again softly because he couldn't not. He wanted to kiss him all the time, and he didn't ever want to have to stop. He could hear Lucia laughing at him already.
We should clean up, he said at last. He glanced at his watch. And then I have to go.
Joe pursed his lips. I'm going to burn that watch. It's always taking you away from me.
Nikki laughed.
Hardly the watch's fault.
He peeled himself away from Joe, and they both grimaced at how sticky they were.
Ugh, it seemed like such a good idea at the time.
It was a good idea at the time. I enjoyed it very much, Nikki said, holding out a hand.
Joe took it and tangled their fingers together as he tugged him towards the kitchen.
Please tell me you have time for a shower before you leave.
Of course. I factor excessive showers into my plans now.
They were actually unusually quick cleaning up by their standards. Nikki would risk a lot for a long, hot shower with Joe's hands soaping his skin, but not his sister's wrath if he missed his flight and messed up her schedule.
You're back Sunday? Joe said, getting out of the bath and plucking a towel from the rack.
Sunday night, late.
He rubbed his hair with the towel in the vigorous way that his sisters and his hairdresser and Quinn had all told him not to do.
Can we? I already took this afternoon off so I could see you before I left. And if I'm late for work again, Andy's going to stop finding it funny pretty quickly. So Monday night?
Monday night.
Okay, good. Where are my clothes?
Fuck, they're still in the garden.
Joe ran downstairs while Nikki quickly finished drying himself. They met in the living room, Joe slightly out of breath with a bundle of clothes in his arms. One of your socks had somehow migrated onto the lawn. I had to make a mad dash for it. Haven't your neighbors suffered enough today? Nicky said, pulling on his underwear. Are you saying that getting an eyeful of this, Joe gestured up and down his naked body, is suffering? I imagine it is, if an eyeful is all you get. Nicky leaned over to kiss Joe's lips. I know from experience that when you get a little bit, he kissed Joe's neck. You want more, he kissed Joe's shoulder, and more, he moved to Joe's collarbone, and more. He finished with another kiss to Joe's mouth, firmer this time. It took a tremendous amount of willpower to stop, so he could get his jeans on. When he looked up again, Joe was tragically clothed. You give and then you take away. You want me to lounge around here naked waiting for your return? Because I can do that, but it might be awkward when the Tesco delivery guy arrives. Where's my t-shirt? Joe looked around. Fuck, hang on. He disappeared downstairs again, and Nicky sat on the sofa to put his socks on. As dressed as he could get right now, he looked around the living room. He'd been in here before, but mostly either passing through to the kitchen or enjoying the comfy sofa when they didn't make it upstairs. He hadn't really looked before. The purple throw on the back of the sofa was handmade, he realized now. Not handmade in our artisan factory, but actually handmade, presumably by someone Joe knew, or Joe himself. There was a large painting above the fireplace depicting... Nicky tilted his head. It was either a guy getting his cock sucked, or a very colorful lightning storm, or... a market? He squinted at the signature in the corner, but could only make out K something. There were photographs everywhere, and it was surprising how many of the people in them he recognized. Joe's parents, Andy and Quinn, a much younger Joe with Quinn and several other people, all dressed as Power Rangers. A tall, broad-chested man Nicky was sure he'd been introduced to once at Andy's old house. There was a woman with Joe's smile, and Miriam's eyes and Ibrahim's air of friendly approachability, sitting on what Nicky realized was Joe's sofa, with a different throw on it. Either side of her were two small boys, also sporting that same smile, and the same light Joe got in his eyes when he was relaxed and laughing. There were several more photos of the boys. In fact, there were more photos of them than anyone else. I bet you're a great uncle, Nicky said as he heard Joe coming back up the stairs. He turned to find Joe smiling, looking fond and almost shy. Thanks, he said, holding out Nicky's t-shirt. I try for cool, Uncle, and I think I'm pulling it off. There are only five, though, so it's not that hard. Nicky pulled his t-shirt on. I think in 10 years' time you'll still be cool, Uncle Joe. He pictured Joe in his 40s. With two truculent but adoring 15-year-olds. It was a good picture. Thanks, Joe said, leaning in for a kiss. Do you still have the Power Ranger costume? Joe stopped mid-lean. Do you have a Power Ranger thing? Would that be a problem? Maybe. Joe, are you kink-shaming me? Nicky said, not even attempting to hide his grin. Joe rolled his eyes. You're an asshole, do you know that? I do know that. I've been told many times. By Andy? Mostly. Just so we're clear, Joe said as they walked to the door. Whatever you're into is fine, but I do not want to do anything sexual involving Power Rangers.
Well, we had to find something we weren't on the same page for sooner or later.
Nicky stuffed his feet into his shoes and checked his watch. He was, astonishingly, more or less on time. This was why he'd started building showering and kissing time into his plans. He tilted towards Joe and stumbled when Joe pulled the door open instead of kissing him. You know I'm not going to let you go if I kiss you goodbye here, Joe said. At least if I walk you to your car, shame will eventually compel me to stop.
That didn't really work last time, but okay, Nicky said, following him through the door.
There was an elderly lady dragging a wheelie bin along next door's path.
You need any help with that, Mrs. Noakes?
Joe called, then vaulted over the waist-high wall without waiting for an answer. Well, I was going to say I can manage, Mrs. Noakes said as she handed over the bin. But I won't object to a handsome man dashing to my aid. Joe winked at her before heading towards the bin store. Mrs. Noakes shook her head. I've great-grandchildren not much younger than you, Joe. You've no cause to be winking at me. Her gaze fell on Nicky. Ah, you must be Joe's young man. Lovely to meet you at last. Nicky, isn't it? Yes, Nicky stammered, thrown both at being referred to as Joe's young man and at Joe's neighbor knowing who he was. Nice to meet you, he added clearly, remembering what Joe had said about his neighbor's hearing. I don't think I mentioned to you, Joe, she said as Joe returned from the bin store, but I've got a new hearing aid, you know. Oh? So no need to shout any more. I can hear you quite well. There was a twinkle in her eye that was making Nicky nervous, but he couldn't pinpoint why. You might want to invest in some new garden chairs, though. Ones that don't creak quite so loudly. Oh, that was why. Oh, God, Joe said faintly. Yes, that sounds familiar. Joe looked like he wanted to sink into the floor. Nicky couldn't blame him. This was so much worse than Andy overhearing them. Mrs. Noakes, I'm really sorry. I was just messing around. I really didn't think anybody... Don't be silly, Joe. Do you think I haven't heard people having sex before? I'm just teasing. I barely even heard anything. I went outside, realized what was happening, and went back inside and made a cup of tea. No harm done. Well, I apologize anyway, Joe said. So do I, Nicky said. Your apologies aren't necessary, but if it makes you feel better, I'll accept them.
Thank you,
they both said in unison, then shared sheepish grins. Mrs. Noakes laughed. Nicky surreptitiously checked his watch again. I'm going to watch countdown. I'll let you get to wherever you're rushing off to. She turned and made her way back towards the house, and Joe scrambled back over the wall. Mrs. Noakes stopped and turned in the doorway. By the way, who won? Nicky wasn't much of a blusher. He wasn't easily embarrassed, but he could feel his cheeks burning hot. He didn't dare look at Joe. I did, Joe said. Good boy, she said with a grin. Better luck next time, Nicky. And she shut the door. Oh, my God, Joe hissed, sagging against Nicky. It's been lovely knowing you, Joe, but I can never come back here again. I might have to move. Fortunately for me, I'm leaving the country right now, Nicky said, steering Joe towards his car. Will you still be here when I get back? Unclear at this point. I'll let you know. You'd better, Nicky said, then kissed him as slow and lingering as he dared. Text me when you land, okay? Joe said. Nicky nodded. And wish your mom a happy birthday for me. No, wait, don't do that. She doesn't know me. That would be weird. He laughed and rested his forehead against Nicky's. Just have a good time, okay? Always do. Nicky took a deep breath and forced himself to open the car door. This was ridiculous. He was going away for 4 days. They weren't parting forever. Bye, Joe, Nicky said with a quick kiss, slid into the car, and started the engine. He could see Joe in his rearview mirror, hands in his pockets, watching him leave. There was a lump in Nicky's throat, butterflies in his stomach, and something simultaneously light and heavy in his chest.